Good morning, sons and daughters of God. I want to ask you to do something for me. Take your hand and place it on your chest just for a moment. Beating in your chest this morning is the heart of a conqueror. We're going to be looking into Scripture today, and you're going to see that what I'm telling you is the truth. Now, you may not feel like a conqueror. You may feel overwhelmed and defeated this morning, but God's word unequivocally teaches us that we're conquerors. I invite you into the book of Genesis with me. Genesis chapter 1. Jamie and Margaret, good to see you guys. Love you, brother. Amen. Genesis chapter 1. I love the book of Genesis, particularly the first two chapters, and you have to include chapter 3, not that you love it, but you're not going to understand the world if you don't understand Genesis 3 and the fall and the sin and the curse. This is my 38th year in ministry, and I don't know how many hundreds of hours I've spent studying the first two chapters of the book of Genesis. I wrote a book over 200 pages on one verse, Genesis 2:7. It's loaded. I believe that a proper understanding of the first three chapters of the book of Genesis is really necessary to understand the big picture of what it's all about. So this is foundational area that we're talking about this morning. So many wonderful truths in Genesis 1. Genesis 1:1 begins, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And I heard a Christian scientist speaking on that verse one time. He summed it up this way: everything that science tells you is necessary for the world to exist is found there. In the beginning, that's time. God created, that's energy. The heavens and the earth, that's matter. All of it's there. And then it goes from there. But I'm going to bypass all of it and take you to verse 26. Because this is the sixth day of the creation. God created the world in 6 days. I take it literally, the Hebrew word for day, yom. It literally means a 24-hour period of time. From dusk to dawn, dawn to dusk, and that whole period. In verse 26, on the sixth day, the word of God said, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And you'll remember the order if you continue reading. Adam was created first. From Adam was taken a rib, and the woman was created. Adam was created. He had an encounter with God. From him the rib was taken. The woman was created. She had an encounter with God. Then the Bible says God brought the woman to the man. So there you have a perfect man who's met God, a perfect woman who's met God, and God brings them together. That's the first marriage. That's the original design. That's what God's after. But as God is expressing literally the thoughts of the Trinity and says, "Let us make man in our image," it's so intriguing to just contemplate what that means, to be made in the image and likeness of God. Part of what it means is we have dominion. So, it says, "In the image of God, he created the male and female." It goes on to say, "Then God blessed them," the spoken blessing, he blessed them, "and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over everything that moves on the earth." So there you have it, two different times, spelled out for you that out of God's very own mouth, as it were. He says, "I'm creating humanity, man and woman, and they will be given dominion." By design, your DNA carries dominion. And so today is the first session in a new series called The Dominion Revelation. And we're going to see that we're created for dominion. The first thing I want to bring to your attention out of this text is, when you consider yourself being created with this dominion, you need to know this was part of God's creative decree. Look at that scripture again. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. God said all that. It came about because God first spoke it. It would not have happened. It did not happen until he spoke it. He knew it before, saw it before, but speaking it brought it into being. The whole universe was created that way. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Sea be filled with fish, and it was. Air be filled with birds, and it was. Ground be filled with cattle, and it was. Plants come up, and they did, and so forth. All of that happened by what theologians would call divine fiat. He spoke it. He decreed it. He declared it. That is, the spoken word of God contained incredible creative power. The scripture, we read all of Genesis 1, we would also see the activity of the Holy Spirit who was brooding or hovering over the face of the deep. So there was the stirring of the Spirit and the speaking of the word. And when the word was spoken over where the Spirit was stirring, there was a dynamic, creative, explosive results, and the created order came into existence. Now, scientists call it the Big Bang, but the Bible just said God said it, and bang, it was. I mean, literally, this is how things came into being. Man was also created in God's image, so if this also pertains to man, then we should see him operating that way. And so after Adam's created, God brings everything else, the animals he had created, he parades them before Adam. And what did Adam do? He spoke over them. He named them. And whatever he said they were, that is what they were. So you see Adam beginning to operate after the likeness of God through decree. You and I have that capacity to speak a thing. And let me say it this way, because I know we can go to seed and with certain teachings, but when you need to understand this. Here you have a perfect man in perfect alignment with a perfect God. This man is full of God's very own Spirit. He's enjoying daily fellowship with God. We're told that. And out of that position, out of living in that type of agreement and alignment, Adam was able then to speak and see results out as a result of what he spoke. Now, the truth is, even after Adam got out of alignment in Genesis 3 through the curse of sin, his words still had power. The Bible says your words have power. Death and life are in the power of our tongue. But when we think of the dominion that we carry and our capacity to speak powerfully or to speak words that have power in them and on them, literally creative power, then we begin to realize how important it is that we guard our words. When we guard our mouth, we're literally guarding our future. If what we say becomes part of what is constructed that we're going to receive, by guarding our mouth, we are protecting our future. Now, James, way on over in the New Testament era, tells us that pretty much, well, he tells us, if you can control your tongue, you're a perfect man. In other words, in those moments when our heart's right with God, a man speaks out of the abundance of his heart. and our words are spoken rightly from a pure heart in agreement with God's purposes, then we are operating the way Adam was originally created to operate. The more we can operate in that way, the more we are constructing our future in a way that it mirrors God's plan and purpose for our life. I mean, how many testimonies are there of people who've been married for years and 5 minutes of wrong word speaking destroyed the home? It may not have been 5 minutes. It may have been 25 seconds. So there's power in decreeing and declaring. And part of the image of God in us is the capacity to do this. And the attributes of God that we're able to mirror. Now please understand. Well, I'll get into that in a moment. The attributes of God that we're able to mirror. The enemy wants to pollute and pervert those. It's interesting. This word dominion is the Hebrew word radah. And it means to have dominion. Dominion speaks of ruling, reigning over a domain, like a king over a domain. It also can be interpreted or translated as to dominate. There, truly, biblically, we were created to, in holy ways, dominate the earth. Every war that's been started is the unholy use of what I'm talking about, the unholy use of dominion. Wanting to rule over for people for wrong reasons, for wrong purposes, to wrong ends. So we're to dominate. But now we've been restored through Jesus, God's Spirit that He breathed into Adam, pure, holy, fullness. We now have been restored through Christ so that His Spirit now lives in us. And our words can be powerfully used in God's kingdom to see His kingdom come and His will be done. And we can dominate. But don't think manipulating, intimidating, running over people, steamrolling people, putting people in bondage. That's not what it's... Now, at New Covenant, because our warfare is not with the weapons of the world. Our warfare is in the realm of the Spirit. So when hate rises up, we dominate it with love. When depression or discouragement tries to settle in, we dominate it with joy and faith. When greed tries to grab hold of us or our people or our family, we dominate it with generosity. That's rightly expressing this nature we have that has in it this holy ambition. There's part of us that wants to know what's over the next hill, around the next curve, what's at the bottom of that deep hole. People like Jacques Cousteau of days gone by, they would want to get into submarines and go to the bottom of the ocean. Why? To find out what's there. The people in Cape Canaveral and in Houston and in Huntsville, Alabama, They worked until a man left a footprint on the moon. Why? They wanted to conquer that. They wanted to find out what was there. And now we're sending spaceships into the regions beyond. Buzz Lightyear's not the only one that dreams about going to the regions beyond. We do too. And on our way, in a lot of ways, that's the dominion God has placed in us. Jesus' disciples aspired for greatness. They even asked him, hey, Jesus, which one of us guys greatest? He didn't rebuke them. I heard Bill Johnson say this one day. I never forgot it. He didn't rebuke them for desiring to be great. He just redefined what greatness is. See, we're made to desire, to have holy ambition, to want to take ground, scale that mountain, plumb the depths, and so forth. That's who God created us to be. I mean, after all, He started with one guy and one gal in a garden and said, hey, the world's yours. Now go dominate it. Subdue it. What's he saying? Bring it under your governance as a human being, because you're at the top of the ladder of what I've created. The psalmist said, what is man that you are mindful of him, that you made him just below, the KJV says the angels, but literally in the Hebrew, that you would make him just below Elohim. God, who are we that when you created us, you put us right under yourself? We are God's under regents in the realm of earth. Made in his image and likeness. And that brings us to the next thing. This dominion is part of your personal destiny. This was God's idea. I mean, at the very beginning, when God was making the first man, I'm going to load him up with dominion. Out of everything I'm creating, he's going to be my governor over it. I'm going to choose to rule in the earth through him. I'm going to put my spirit right on the inside of him, and I'm going to load his DNA with this dominion, and he's going to rise up, and he's going to be my son in the realm of earth. Yes. That was our great, 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 great granddaddy he was talking to, or talking about. This is part of your personal destiny. I love it. Notice that it says, you were made in God's image, made in his likeness. And again, perfect man, perfect God, everything's hitting on all cylinders. That's the way it worked before the fall. Excuse me. And then Adam got busy doing God's work. When we're in alignment, our authority will be so much greater. And our capacity to dominate the enemy and rule and reign as regents of God in the earth. Now, I'm not saying that we're gods. I'm just saying God is our Father and he made us like himself. That's what this Bible says. We bear his image. And as the gospel is about us being restored to that place. Our sins being forgiven. The relationship with God's reconciled. Why? So that we can do what God originally created man to do. You know, the summary thumbnail view, my view of the scriptures, man started out in a garden, he and woman, and enjoying the presence of God by a river. Everything was perfect. When you get to the end of the book, after man sinned, he's restored. At the end of the book, he's in the presence of God. There's a river flowing. The tree of life's even there. Mission accomplished, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. This one's going to get burned, renovated, made like new, and heaven's going to come down to earth. Now that's way on. That's the end of the book of Revelation and beyond, where we'll all be as his sons and daughters, experiencing his presence then, because we're made for that. But we live here, we're to live with this dominion, knowing that we have this dominion. Jesus told his disciples, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. That's where our warfare is. When the enemy came to attack Jesus, he offered Jesus the nations of this world, and Jesus did not deny that he could offer them. He just refused to. He said, I'm going to only worship the true and living God. So it's part of your personal destiny. And we need to understand this. This is who we really are. And we don't need to be speaking words that drain us of our dominion. We don't need to be exhibiting attitudes that are showing that we're not walking in right alignment with God, because there's ground that could be taken that won't be taken if we're not in alignment and we're not operating properly in this place of dominion. I mentioned synergy in the word I shared with Caleb. And that's an important Bible word, because the Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. There's a synergy in unity and agreement. And imagine people come into alignment with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, participating in the communion that's eternally existed with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, enjoying that communion together as a community of believers, vertically aligned with God, horizontally expanding His kingdom in the realm of earth. That's what it's about. When I was a senior in high school, we were in the state playoffs, won the first round, went the second round. That's the first time that Mickey and I are aware that we were ever in the same place at the same time, except I was on the field on one side and she was on the other side. I was a football player, she's cheerleader. And our teams are playing in the state playoffs. And at halftime, we were winning 7-0. I mean, this was exciting. Like, we were one of the very few teams from our school that had ever gone to the playoffs. And it was so exciting. We were winning at halftime. We came back out. Her team, the Addison Bulldogs, were known for, ground and pound offense. They had a fullback. I mean, just mow you over. I mean, I played defensive halfback, and when he rounded the corner coming at you, you gave it all you got, and you knew you was going to get more because he had more. And it was rough, but they were grounding and pounding. And so they scored and tied it up. Then they scored again on a big play. They went ahead, and like in the fourth quarter, they scored again. It was 21-7. There was still a good bit of time on the clock, but we got the ball back. We're in the huddle, all 11 of us. And I remember, just like it was 5 minutes ago, when, I won't call names, one of our linemen said, "Boys, I don't believe we're going to win this one." Then he said, "But you know, we'll get to play basketball on Monday." Some of us said, "No, let's, you know, we can win this." But it was too late. When he spoke those words in that huddle, we were all Brent Tigers, uniformed out, on the gridiron, going for the glory for our school. But when those words were spoken, it's all, like all the proverbial air went out of our balloon. I mean, all of a sudden, the shape of the ball even changed on us. Because of words that were released in a moment when faith needed to be expressed. Now, some of them would said it wasn't faith that was needed. That's just dreaming, you know. But really, that's when faith needs to speak up. That's when you reach down deeper than you've ever reached and try to get what you need to turn things around. But words just shifted the atmosphere in that huddle. Words can shift the atmosphere in our home, in our churches, in our country, in the nations. We need to be people living with dominion and expressing it in ways that we're dominating. How do we know when we're winning? When hearts of people, men and women and boys and girls, are confessing Christ as Lord. Getting freed up from any demons they've got. Getting healed from disease. And living out the word. Then His kingdom is coming. And His will is being. The kingdom of God is the rule of God in the human heart. And it left the heart of humanity in Genesis 3. And was given back on the cross in the time of Jesus. And we're continuing His work to let people know you can have that heart beating in your chest again. The heart of a courageous champion filled with dominion, filled with courage, a conqueror's heart. It's part of our personal destiny. And Genesis 1 shows us this. Let's move on to the third thing I want to share with you concerning being created for dominion. And that has to do with the mandate to multiply and fill and subdue. We read it there in Genesis 1. He created them. He said, "I want you to be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth." This was after He blessed them. In other words, that spoken blessing came upon them. And that spoken blessing gave them the power to fulfill the mandate He released upon them. The blessing came upon them. When He said, "Be fruitful," to them, they were given in that moment a mantle to be fruitful. When He said, "Multiply," it's all there to do it. to fill and subdue. It was just a man and a woman. Fill this earth up. What's he talking about? Well, when he put fish in the sea, those fish had more fish. When he put birds in the air, those birds had more birds. When he put seed in the ground, those seeds would produce fruit that would contain seed that would produce more fruit. And when he created a man and woman and brought them together, he blessed them and gave them the capacity to see little boys and little girls start dotting the landscape of earth to be fruitful and multiply. Now, I want to say something as pastor right here. It's important. There's so much stuff that we're being taught and we're hearing and our kids are hearing. And this is such a controversial statement. But this scripture, this is the primal mandate. I mean, the original mandate over humanity to be fruitful and multiply. Abortions, the law of abortion is an affront to what God has said. This is God's design and God's order. By the way, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He made it. It belongs to Him. He made us. We belong to Him. He very well can establish the boundaries and orders of how humanity is to function. And when we function in alignment with the way God says, we get the blessing associated with the promise that God has made over us concerning what we're supposed to do. But when we have laws that says, no, don't be fruitful and multiply, snuff out the life of that unborn child, that's a violation of God's design. And listen, some people believe this strongly because it's been grounded and pounded in by charming teachers, by, you know, all this data, that data. But we as Christian people, we have not been given the option of choosing what is going to be the standard by which we live our lives. It's like, okay, you're Christian, you're exempt. No, God is the one who is the ultimate authority. He's expressed His will on so many issues in His written word. On issues that may not be directly spoken to there, He's placed His Spirit in us that knows the word and everything else to let us know what's right and wrong. That's called conscience, in addition to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in the life of saved people. All of that works together to know what's right and what's wrong. Everything in nature shows us that birds have little birds and raise them up to have more little birds. Fish have little fish and nurture them so they have more fish. But the creation that God put at the very top to oversee all of that, to do the reverse, violates the laws of nature and nature's God. There's no way you can make that right. I don't care how you argue it. Well, there's this exception. The exception's not the problem. That's not the problem, folks. The problem is the core belief that human beings have the right to put their unborn children to death. And this recent Texas law, thank God for legislation that's starting to shift things back. Somebody's got to do that somewhere. But there are groups rising up saying, no, it's wrong. We want to protect the vulnerable, speaking of women who may want to not have the babies, or men who may not want the women they've impregnated to have their child. But really, who is the most vulnerable? The baby. Have you ever thought about why it's such a joyful thing when a child is born in a family? I mean, Jesus even mentioned a woman said, all this pain and labor, but as soon as that baby comes, woo, R-O-L-A-I-D-S, yes, the pain's over, but it's more than that, right? I mean, like, wow, this child came from me. He even looks a little like me. God, what God put inside of you was fruitful and multiplied. and the blessing of this original mandate and decree has touched your life, and it brings with it such joy. And so the real war's against that, because God said it. The devil showed us his cards the first time he showed up. Did God really say that? Now, could that really be true? You think that's right? Ah, you're like God. You probably know better than him. That's where that thinking comes from. It is demonic. Has to be. Because God wouldn't do it. And God said, don't do it. God said, do the opposite. You may disagree with me. Probably not. But if you do, take me out of the equation. Go before the Lord and say, Lord, did you really mean this? Well, he must have. You're here. Think about that. The mandate. That's part of our dominion. We take over. We have kids. It continues on. And your children and children's children. You raise them up and you put God's word in them and you teach them and you share your testimony with your kids and you tell them, you haven't seen anything yet. I'm sharing what I've seen, but my ceiling's going to be your floor, little one. You're going to go where I hadn't been able to go. You're going to go, you're going to see glory I never saw. That's the way it ought to operate. Until every creature, everybody on the earth has heard this message of the gospel of the kingdom. And then Jesus is a coming back. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill and subdue. Last thing. Concerning being created for dominion. It involves enjoying and extending the pleasure of his presence. Going back to the original, man, woman in the garden enjoying God, enjoying his presence. The psalmist, when he had one of those worship experiences, like, you know, I really felt God's presence in the worship, and you kind of get, you can kind of be here and not here, you know what I'm saying? And don't you love it when you have those moments? When you're here, but you're not, I'm not talking about daydreaming about who's going to win the Patriots and Dolphins game. We'll get to that at 3:30 this afternoon, okay? Now I'm talking about not being here because you're so in his presence. We were created for that. Psalmist, in one of those moments, he wrote it down. Psalm 16. And he said, you will show me the path of life. Lord, I know you're going to show me how to live. He kept writing. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Sounds like a man that got to step in the throne room for a few minutes. Pleasure. Adam was created to live right there. In God's presence. Enjoying his presence. And then living out of that so that other people's lives are impacted. And they come to know him. To know him and to make him known. That's what it's about, right? I love the shorter version of the Westminster Catechism. And I know we're not given to ritual or formalism here. But I do like that particular element of their worship. Where they say, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Forever. That's wow. That's part of our dominion too. Is to create a world where Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning by allowing him to rule and reign in our heart. The biggest battle that we ever have to face is not all that stuff going on out there. It's not the war without. We win that when we win the war within. When do we take the ground out there? When we take it in here. When do we really walk in dominion and conquer out there when we conquer what's in here. And we get in alignment. And we're living out of fullness. We're able to fill the earth. When we're enjoying His presence, we're able to export that everywhere we go. Because the truth of the matter is, we're like living embassies wherever we are. I've traveled a number of nations. I remember in South Korea driving by the United States Embassy, close to our military base there. I remember being in Kenya and driving by the U.S. Embassy that had been bombed. I've been by our embassy down in Honduras, Guatemala, different places. U.S. Embassy. You know what an embassy means? Mark and Robin, welcome back from Guatemala. I've been in the car with them when we've driven by the U.S. Embassy in Guatemala. And they've been down there for several months now. They're U.S. citizens. But even though they're in Guatemala, if they went in the United States embassies, they would have all the rights and privileges as citizens of the United States of America within those boundaries. They would have every protection offered to an American citizen when they're on the grounds of that embassy. They would have access to our government and the rulers of our government when they step into that embassy. Even though it's in Guatemala, it's like stepping right into the United States of America. And as a matter of fact, the host country, Guatemala, those folks can't even go in there unless they're invited to. They have to be permission. You might say, well, it's in Guatemala. It belongs to Guatemala. No, it's in Guatemala, but it belongs to the United States of America because it's in an embassy. I think Paul may have had some of that in mind when he says that we live in this world, but we're not of this world. We're like living embassies. When you're in the middle of that mess you're having to deal with, you may think, where in the world's the Lord? Well, He lives in your chest through His Holy Spirit. He said He'd never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's inside you through His Spirit. That's where His kingdom rules and reigns. Yes. So when you're in the middle of the mess doesn't have to be in the middle of you because you're in holy territory. As a matter of fact, that's so true. Paul wrote and said, your body is literally the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's holy ground. Paul also informed us under our new covenant contract and agreement. He said that we have been made to be seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You may be leaving your footprints here on earth, but everywhere you go, you're operating out of an embassy that's headquartered in heaven itself. And you have all the rights and privileges of being a son and a daughter of God. You have immunity from this world because of the benefits and inheritance you have as a son and daughter of the kingdom of your Father. And the enemy can't even come in and visit you in any way without permission, and it's allowed in some way. Now, sometimes we allow him wrongly. Sometimes the Lord may allow us to go through a testing for his own purposes. But what I'm saying, we are like an embassy. And with that in mind, listen, I just declare over you, Grace House, we exist to raise up followers of Jesus Christ, who are equipped through the Word, empowered by the Spirit, who worship passionately, love radically, give freely to impact this world for the glory of God, so that our lives and the lives of people that we come in contact with are touched by heaven, so heaven can begin to invade the realm in which they live. And so we are people who live with the decree, kingdom of God come and will of God be done on our lips and in our hearts at all times. This is who we are. This is what we're called to do. And everything we do should facilitate this. That's why we're here instead of down at the river in a boat fishing. Because we met Him. And we know Him. And deep inside, deep calls to deep, Psalm 37 tells us. That is those hungerings, those ambitions that are holy, those desires that are breathed on by God deep inside of us. Every time you have one of those desires, deep calls unto deep. That tells us that for every one of those desires, there is a corresponding reality that exists to meet the hunger that's there, to meet that desire that's rising up. If you have a desire to see a mountain moved, there's one to be moved. Somebody that drew the Jetson cartoons was imagining a world where there would be all these electronic gadgets and these devices that you could hold up to your head and talk to somebody way away from you, and even things that looked like cars that were flying around in the air. They imagined that back in the 50s, and we're living it now. In the 2020s. What dreams, what desires has Holy Spirit stirred up and birthed inside of you? This God who's created us and put this dominion in us. Those promises, He watches over that to bring it to pass. Don't be discouraged. Please don't give up. It's nasty out there today. It's ugly out in the world. People have discovered somewhere, they unlocked something, there's a new kind of mean that's walking the streets, that's showing up on the airwaves, that's heard in the coffee shop. Every new way that can be dreamed of that can divide and polarize and separate people. They're working overtime coming up with those ideas. Somewhere in the middle of all of that, a bride who's spotless, without wrinkle, that's so in love with her Lord, whose heart is so aligned and so pure, and whose DNA resonates with dominion. Somewhere. That bride needs to rise up and change this world. Because it won't be through earthly empires that this job will be done. It will be done through the lives of kingdom warriors called together in assemblies like this, getting their orders from headquarters and living out the dominion that God Himself placed in them. I'm signing up. Join me. Would you rise with me this morning? Lord, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that Your kingdom would come, that Your will would be done in this time of ministry this morning, in our hearts this morning. Lord, we ask that there would be an awakening of this holy dominion. This ability to tread underfoot the enemy and dominate him. To win with love. To bear the fruit of the Spirit. To flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. To stand firm. To gain ground, not give up ground. To see souls saved. To see people liberated. Lord, we pray for a land energized by Holy Spirit. We pray for a people to arise on fire with a holy fire, full of a holy ambition. To see Your kingdom, it's Your kingdom, not ours. To see Your will, it's not ours. To see it done, Lord. Heart by heart, man by man, woman by woman, boy by boy, girl by girl. May there be a holy invasion. with our eyes closed and our heads bowed for another moment. We're having people to come up to be available to pray for you if you need prayer. But I just want to ask you, let's do a little inventory quickly. Is there an area of defeat in your life you need to conquer, but with the help of the Holy Spirit? Are there any attitudes that keep rising up that need to be brought down, kept down, buried, and left behind? You need the help of Holy Spirit. Are there things that need to be reignited because you've been discouraged? Vision that needs to be cleared because it's been blurred by all the static? Heavenly Father, we call upon you now to visit us. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask this in the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As little children, we ask you, Lord, to help us this morning. Would you join me in just asking the Lord to help? Lord, help us today. Help us to see what we need to see, hear what we need to hear, know what we need to know, do what we need to do. Oh, God of ages past, but our help in this present moment, come on the scene. Breathe on us with the breath of heaven this morning, Father. Let your wind blow. Burn away the dross. Lord, we come to you. We appeal to you today. Lord, we humble ourselves. We repent, oh Lord. Fill us up to overflowing with new wine. Lord, cleanse us. Cleanse us. Cleanse us by your blood. Help us, oh King. Let's just worship for a moment. Just align with the Lord's heart as much as you can. If you need prayer, we have people here waiting. They will be glad to pray with you. Others can come if needed. If you have a burden, if you want to give your heart to Christ, become a Christian, come now. If you've got a burden, you need someone to pray with you, come. If the Lord's saying you need someone to pray for you for healing, come, just be obedient. Step up from where you are right now if you need prayer. Lord, we need what we find in your presence. Fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore are found there. We should enjoy living for the Lord. Anyone else, you need to come. Just make your way forward.